Hi, I'm Kelly Feely with Successful Practitioner, and you're listening to the NeuroNoodle Network Podcast.
Welcome to NeuroNoodle's Neurofeedback and Neuropsychology Podcast, featuring a neuropsychologist, Dr. Laura Jansons, Dr. Skip Wren, tech whiz Santiago Brand, and neurofeedback legend Jay Gunkelman. Our goal is to provide information and promote options for better mental health. This is an all-star cast, and I'm more than happy to share their knowledge with you. My name is Pete, and today we have a special guest, Kelly Feely from Successful Practitioner. But before we start, we'd like to thank our Patreon business supporters, Outrageous Baking, Tour Talk, Alternative Behavioral Therapy, and Amazing Brains. We'd also like to give a shout out to our Patreon supporters, EEGME, Sadia M, Jonathan Rowan, January Terrell, and Loretta T. Outrageous Baking is a dedicated gluten-free bakery that has been around for 15 years. Tour Talk wants more people to discover Texas speech. Joshua M. at Alternative Behavioral Therapy Neurofeedback Service in Vancouver, Washington. And Amazing Brains in Colorado, two locations, Vail Valley and Summit County. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the word out. If they can't hear us, we can't help them. Okay, Kelly, we have Kelly Feely on today. Now, Santiago, I think you reached out and said, hey, we need Kelly on the show. How do you know Kelly? And I know Jay, you know Kelly. Everybody knows Jay. What's the connection here, Santiago?
I honestly don't remember how I got to meet Kelly. I know we've been talking for a while now. I don't know, Kelly, if you remember, I guess it was through Linda Walker or someone like that.
Yeah, yeah, and just learning programs and you know, a lot of us in the field have taken multiple courses together and gone to conferences and all these things. So I've had a lot of opportunities to meet and work with some wonderful providers like you and Jay and so many others. So we've definitely crossed paths multiple times, but I think through trainings and other professionals is really where we solidified our friendship and excitement in this field over what we're doing. So,
and we started out actually. You were the head tech at the office, running multiple neurofeedback sessions and doing the EEG QEG recordings for Dr. Hashamian's clinical practice, where Brain Science International was. In the same office, basically. So we met professionally, and you ran that office really well. It was a significant loss for us when you went to work for Dr. Turner, but you know, it's good for the field, so it's all good. Obviously, from there, you've been involved with STENS, and you've got your own company now. With consulting, you've come a long ways from a back lab neurofeedback tech, kind of working under the cover of a practice I was part of. So it's been fun watching the maturation of your presence in the field. At this point, I think you're one of the touchstone solid spots that. People can actually refer to. So it's been fun watching that.
Well, I really appreciate that, Jay. You know, I got my start, you know, really working and learning from you. My first experience of doing a QEG was with you. And I've had the opportunity to mentor under you and to watch you work. And also in addition to helping run and help build these clinics from 1 to 7 in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, also helping Brain Science International get going and helping set up all the equipment and handle the software and make sure all of you guys were taken care of during your teachings. And so, you know, that's another thing that I've incorporated into my business is the certification programs, you know. So we'll talk a little bit about, you know, what I do and how I hopefully can help continue to impact the field as people are getting started in this. I think that's one of the biggest challenges. People have so many questions. First of all, this is fascinating. So people are learning about it quite fast, and especially with the help from products like Apple, or companies like Apple or Aura, or all of these huge companies that have put millions of dollars into researching biometric data, which is what we're pulling, right? And what do we do with that? Well, they're doing very low level stuff. We're doing it on steroids, right? Which is wonderful for us because we got all the fun toys. But it's really engaging the general population and community, saying, oh, we actually can get some data about what's happening to us. And then, yeah, it's telling me to go to sleep, sleep earlier, or make some changes, get more physical activity. But they're starting to learn about this, and then they're going to their providers and they're hearing that they do biofeedback and neurofeedback. And then they see how advanced it really can be, and that we actually can train people. We can assess where things are coming from and start to resolve and work towards, you know, helping these people live healthier lives. So I think the main thing, you know, is really getting people interested and educated, not just professionals, but the community.
Kelly, we have moms and dads that listen. We have clinicians that listen. You know, please give us the quick elevator pitch on your business and who you help and what you do and your background.
Sure. So I'm a board certified fellow in neurofeedback. I also am board certified in QEG. I'm also, I guess, not, I don't consider myself a glorified tech. But I definitely hope to be. You know, I've done a lot of that. I've worked clinically, as Jay had mentioned. I've popped around quite a few different practices and helped get them up and running, and also lead and train their teams. We offer at Successful Practitioner certification programs in biofeedback, neurofeedback, and QEG. And then in addition to that, we also have board-approved mentors. So Successful Practitioner is really focused on making sure that we teach professionals the science about what we're doing. Technology is, we're in the most advanced technological space we've ever been, and it's only getting even more advanced, and I love it. And so what's exciting about that is we can teach the science and then make decisions off of set gold standard devices and say, well, here's what I want to do. And here's my budget. And so one of the things that I do is I meet with people after they go through these courses, because that's the first step to getting certified. After that, I say, hey, how was your experience? What'd you learn? You know, what do you think applies to you and your client base? And then we talk about it, and I offer them all of these different options, talk about the pros and cons. As mentioned, I've worked in a lot of different educational spaces. I've worked in manufacturing and distributing. And so, you know, I have a lot of insight, and I've worked in with multiple different devices. And so I can say, hey, pros and cons, you know, and kind of guide them. The goal is to guide them responsibly towards what's best for them and their clinic, and they're helping their community. So basically taking a course, getting mentorship, getting equipment, and then we offer mentorship, which is we match you with somebody who is a board approved mentor and that is specialized in your type of clients that you're going to be working with, as well as your hardware and software. Someone who's really knowledgeable that can get into the nuts and bolts of things and really help you set up things. Protocols, your type of software, and get you familiar with it. Really ties everything that you've learned all together. And then the next thing is that we offer is business and marketing support and consultations. Because after you learn all this, get what you need, what do we do? How do I integrate this into my clinic or start one? And how do I package it and again educate the community so they want to come in? So we're kind of I like to think of the company as a parachute for the providers who are jumping out of a plane and aren't sure if they have a parachute or not. We like to be that and give a full hug around anybody who's interested and passionate and qualified to do this. And then the courses that we offer are great for parents or anyone who really just wants to learn about the science. You don't have to go and do the full course. You can just take an online first half of that and really learn about the science. Another real important thing that I think people miss, and I think Jay can really appreciate that because he's been around for a long time too, is when I first got started, biofeedback played in one sandbox and neurofeedback in another. and they didn't play together, really work too much together. Now we're in a different space and it's come together. But people really, over time, we've done the research and we've applied a little more common sense, what I like to say. If my patient is breathing and regulated appropriately, it's getting the brain is getting the oxygen it needs. They're in a space where they're at neutral, and we can start to get in and do good progress and work with the brain. So I always try to tell people that it's very important to understand biofeedback as the base and foundation. And so starting there and taking that course will set you up for success as you go into neurofeedback and even advanced QEG. I would love to start with QEG and do it the reverse, but there's a foundation that really needs to be learned for people to be successful going through this. And so those are conversations I'm having all the time, and especially with just regular users. They want to know more about this past just the Apple Watches and Fitbits and things like that, because there are consumer products that they can get to help with some of this. Now, it's always recommended to work with a board-approved provider for, the more complex things. But there are devices where you can do some home training biofeedback. So that's pretty much what our company does. We like to make sure that we're supporting people and have solutions for every step that and every challenge that anyone's going to face as they work towards becoming qualified to provide this to the community.
I have to say that there are a lot of people that will do a course for a piece of neurofeedback equipment, but you're more like Switzerland. You've got every single device manufacturer under one roof, and you've worked with all of them. So, people aren't guided by the manufacturer's wish for them to buy that device. You're giving them the Swiss tour of the field without the bias towards one platform or another, and you can usually match people up well. I also have to say it's good to see that this is not a circumstance where people are viewed as a disembodied brain. I mean, the brain has got to have heart and lung and circulation and activity and proper nutrition and all of that together as a package in order to operate properly. And you're not just treating it as a disembodied brain. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, following that path and that foundation, because if we think of biofeedback or that big umbrella, EEG biofeedback, aka neurofeedback, temperature, heart rate, respiration, all of these things are so powerful. Because again, you may be experiencing stress or holding stress in your neck. And if you go to do a QEG, and you know this, we're going to see that. Or if you're doing neurofeedback, we're getting stuff that we don't want in our data. And so it's important to understand that you have more than one tool to use before you really get in and start doing the deep work in the brain. And I made a mistake, and I've learned lessons, and I think that's why I am kind of where I am today. And I feel very grateful for my experience and time over the past decade and a half in this industry. Is I've made mistakes. So one of them was saying, I love the brain. That's where I want to start. Forget the easy lower level stuff. Let me dive in. I've got Jay Gunkelman here. Let me tap into that. And I did neurofeedback and QEG. And then I realized, wow, as the field came together, we started seeing this research come up. I said, ooh, that's very important. I need to circle back around. Now, I didn't go to get certified in it, but I took courses and I learned about it. And again, I've worked in educational capacity and put programs on and built educational programs. And that's one big piece of that. We always tie that in. And even then in the neurofeedback courses, we're talking about that as well, because we just have to drill it in. You have to have full body work, really have to be evaluating the full person. And again, we want to teach the science. People need to understand the science. The technology is going to change, and there are plenty of systems that are quality that will do the job and do it well. And it's really just guiding people to what's best for their needs, whether it be just local level consumers or medical providers or health and wellness, you know, athletic performance enhancement, you know. So I really appreciate that we have that opportunity at Successful Practitioner to offer the experience to get hands-on on multiple different devices. Very fortunate to partner with the leading distributor in the industry of equipment, who also is very unbiased, which is another reason why we love working with them, Biomedical Instruments. And so, you know, it's just been, it's been very fruitful to bring all these wonderful people together to be able to support our field, our industry, and then just the regular mom and dads that are out there looking for the true support that they need. You know, another thing that we offer at Successful Practitioner for special cases is we do see some clients for services. We have our instructors and other mentors that do offer services, remote services. So for very special cases, we do take on some clients, but generally we're here to educate and, you know, get this knowledge out there so people can start utilizing it and feeling better.
Yeah, well, I have to say that that's one of the main reasons I suggested that we get Kelly on the podcast. And one of the reasons I love working with him. I've been doing this for 14 years now. And when I first took my, I took my first training with Stans back in 2008, I had the good fortune of meeting somebody. I was living in Florida at the time, and I had the good fortune of meeting somebody who was restarting her clinic. So she invited me to work with her. And it was not only a very exquisite clinical learning experience, but I also learned how to run a business. So by the time I resigned that position, I started my own company. I had a lot of knowledge. But when I moved to Singapore a year ago, I just discovered how different things work here. And, you know, I was struggling a little bit on how to get the business organized here, because even though I have the knowledge and the know-how, well, the culture is different and the intricacies of running a business here are much different than they are back in Colombia, where I'm from. And that's when Taylor, Dr. Taylor, suggested that I work with Kelly. And I have to say that Kelly has been extremely pivotal in helping me get my business organized here. Every time I meet with him, I subject him to all this rumbling because I have a million ideas going on. And Kelly very quietly and very patiently sits and listens to me, and then he helps me, you know, channel the energy and harness that in a very useful, productive way. And therefore, you know, he's helped me organize the ideas here, and he's helped me understand how things work here, and he's helped me understand what I need to do, what I don't need to do, what I need to focus on, what I shouldn't be focusing on. And therefore, the success that I'm having right now, I owe it to Kelly. He's extremely professional, extremely patient, and he knows what he's doing. Now, my recommendation always is work with Kelly. If you don't know what's next, you take the training, and the common question is, what now? The common denominator is, okay, how do I run a practice? What business do, what equipment do I buy? How much do I invest? What population should I work with? If you have all those questions as a prospective practitioner, or even as a parent, then you should talk to Kelly, because Kelly has the know-how, he has the experience, and he has the talent to help you understand it, and he has the talent to help you develop it in a very successful way. I love that he doesn't use a one-size-fits-all approach. He takes your personality, he takes your style, and he helps you develop that. You know, much like a director working with an actor, helping them develop the character, that's what he does for you. And I have to say that I wish I have known Kelly back then, because I think that when I first started doing my running my business, I would have been much more successful than I am right now. But I'm glad that I'm working with him. And therefore, I think that in our field, it's very important to have people like Kelly. And it's very important that we have him today with us, because the people who listen to the podcast and who are new to the field will benefit greatly from working with him.
Kelly, what are some of the things that you help new practitioners out on? Like, or what are some of the pitfalls? Somebody's listening today. Don't do this if you're going to start a practice. What's the number one thing, number two thing?
First, thank you, Santiago. That was just beautiful to hear. And I'm honored to be able to support you, as well as all the other businesses that I've been able to support. I would say one of the biggest things, and Jay touched on this too, is a lot of people fall victim to, I have the best device. This is the best. This is the way to do it. And every brain is individual. Every human is individual. And it's not a one size fits all. And so a lot of times they get pulled into these programs and taught to these specific devices. Well, devices are going to change. They're getting better. We have Jay on this podcast showed the headset from South Korea. I mean, amazing stuff that's coming out, you know, and people automatically they just listen to this and they just buy into it without really being guided responsibly. And again, that's the goal, is I really take time and listen to people and what their needs and what clients are they working with, you know, because it makes a big difference. And what's their budget? A lot of people overspend. They don't need to buy all of these things and all, you know, they're guided by people who want to sell them stuff. And all of this stuff is great. The stuff that's out there by leading distributors that they carry are all FDA compliant and will get the job done in a quality manner. But really taking the time to understand what's out there. And that's, again, contact me. I have a 25-minute free consultation. I do it all day. I absolutely love listening to people and their goals when they first get in and what they want to do. So a lot of times people overspend or they buy into what the first person tells them. And just like anything else, you know, we really want to research and see what's out there. Find somebody who's going to guide you, and not try to sell you anything and say, Hey, look, I was in the same spot. These are the options that are out there to you. Choose the one that your gut feels good with, you know? So
Ellie, is it safe to say lease, don't buy?
I wish there was more leasing options out there on the market. That's one thing that I've tried to, and at companies that I've worked with that do sell equipment in the past, having them come up with programs like that. Our goal is to make this accessible. It's a very expensive field. The equipment is very expensive, and people come in with different budgets, whether you're fresh out of school or let's say you want to start a clinic and haven't really been in the healthcare field. You know, you want to do optimal performance. People just have different financial situations, and there are companies that will lease equipment as long as you're a licensed provider. And then another option that I love doing, especially for clients that we see here or even just providers that I consult with for business, I say, we're in a remote space. Technology is awesome. So tap into it and use it as much as possible. And one of those things that's available to you is doing remote training. Biomedical Instruments actually has a lease program where your client as a practitioner, I can say, listen, I don't want to handle all the stuff. I just want to sell you the training package to help you get better. Go to Biomedical. They'll rent you this equipment for as long as you need it, as long as you're doing services with me, and then turn it back in. And what's beautiful about that is we're not selling equipment directly to people that shouldn't have this long term. We know that that happens sometimes where they could do some damage. You really want to work with a qualified provider. So having them, you know, renting this equipment and doing your sessions is a great option for parents and you know, regular people out there that are looking for these services. Those are some challenges, is finding the right education that's unbiased, that's going to teach you, and having the opportunity to really do research. Look at the BCIA website. Look at the International QEG Certification Board, IQCB, and look at AAPB. Join associations. You're going to learn a whole lot from the resources that they have.
I just want to share an experience I had, because it relates pretty well to what you were just describing. You know, a few years ago, I got invited by the Ministry of Sports in Colombia to run the neuroscience lab. At the time, I had been doing neurofeedback for a while, so they learned about my work with sports, and they wanted to hire me to run the lab. And we are at this place where they wanted me to do a talk, and all the sports psychologists from Colombia were present. So I do my talk about neurofeedback and biofeedback and how we can impact sports. And after the talk, I get approached by one of my colleagues. And he's very excited. He's got this look of excitement on his face. And he approaches me and he says, "Santiago, I got this neurofeedback equipment and I cannot wait to use it." And I said, "You have it here?" "Yeah, okay, show it to me." And he pulls out this this gadget. I don't remember which one it was, but it looks something similar to what Jay is wearing with the head and the earpiece. And it was an FP1 electrode, just an FP1 electrode. And he's really excited. And he starts showing me the software and the interface. And it ran on the cell phone or a tablet. And I just listened to him and I just let him do, you know, the whole spiel about how he's going to use it and how excited he is. And then I said, "Look, I got to tell you something. This is not showing you amplitude readings. This is not giving you frequency readings. I don't see anything that's voltage related." And then he starts, you know, his eyes get wide and he says, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, that's precisely the problem. You don't know what you're talking about." I said, you're buying into this and I know it's not your fault. You're excited, but you know, this is not neurofeedback. This is neurogaming. And I said, you know, this equipment, probably in retrospect, I shouldn't have said that, but I said, you know, if next time you throw a party, instead of pulling out a twister, just take this equipment, show it to everybody, and everybody's going to love it. You're going to be the life of the party. And obviously he was disappointed. And you know how it is. People talk. So then, you know, word got back to me after a week or so. You know, so-and-so is really disappointed in you and he's mad at you. And he's saying that you crushed his dreams, that you're very arrogant and this and that. And I said, "Oh, look, if being honest is arrogant, guilty is charged. You know, I was just telling him and I was doing him a favor. And this should be a lesson to all of you who just want to buy cheap and don't think about quality. And you have to think you're working with athletes. You're working with people who are going to the Olympics. Think about what you could possibly be doing to a person if you're treating only FP1 and they have a lot of slowing or they have an alpha asymmetry. I mean, you have a depressed athlete, you're going to get them even worse. And that's not only going to damage your reputation, it's going to ruin all of us and the field of neurofeedback at large. And therefore, you know, when people get excited, I say, look, you have to talk to somebody who has the experience, who can explain everything to you. Because unfortunately, our market it's permeated more and more by all these gadgets where marketers neurofeedback. And of course, as Kelly was saying, the first thing people look at is their budget. Well, you know, what's in my wallet? And if it is cheap, and if it is promising, and if it is exciting, of course, people are going to buy it. And everybody has a tendency to circumvent the learning curve. You know, Jay's talked about it before. I remember the first time I took my neurofeedback course, I was thinking, what the heck did I get myself into? I was more overwhelmed than I was excited. I was really thinking, oh my God, what did I get myself into? I meet Jay a couple of years later in California. I go do one of his trainings in Charleston, and I'm thinking, what am I doing here? You know, because I'm looking at Jay going through the EEG, and he makes it look so easy. And when you first try, you're going crazy. But then again, I was happy that I got to work with the best, that I still get to work with the best, and that I stuck around enough to do it. And that's something most people don't do. And I think that's what Kelly brings to the table. He helps him understand that this is not a cheap field and it's not an easy thing to do. But if you're patient enough, you can be successful down the road and do proper work.
It's expensive if the client doesn't get the symptoms relieved, right? Kelly, what trends do you see in the field for somebody coming in? For instance, like you brought up the iSync hat, cap. You know, the way I see that is I see there's a market, if you can afford it, to send those caps out and people can do that at their homes. The learning curve for tech I don't even know if you need a tech anymore to put that on. Because the way Jay was describing it is, you know, boom, and then it's going. What trends do you see?
It's very interesting. And just to circle back to what Santiago said is, one of the things that I tell providers when they first get into this, you get what you pay for in this field. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you want to do it right, I mean, I tell people, listen, this is what it's going to cost for you to get your certification. This is what it's going to cost for you to get a range for equipment. This is going to be what it's going to cost for mentorship. This is what it's going to cost. So we're going to break it down because I want people to be successful and they don't know what it looks like. And then they jump in and they're like, sticker shock. Oh, well, we don't want that. We want everyone to be as informed as possible before they even get in and start working away. One of the things that I hear all the time, and I've experienced this myself, I probably sat on, I don't know, Jay, how many of your lectures and Barry Sturman's and Cynthia Kirsten and all these wonderful people, Joel Lubar, I sat in on multiple courses and I'm learning every single time and I'm still learning. And you're not going to walk out of any course or any space and say, I've got it, I'm a pro, this, that. Anyone that says that needs a little ego spiritual time. But really what it comes down to is this is a lifelong learning science, and research is changing. And I want to really advocate that people continue to take courses and network and go to conferences and become affiliated with associations like AAPB and ISNR. And so, you know, there are a lot of different devices out there. Some you don't need additional people. It's very unlikely that those bigger types of devices like the headsets, the dry headsets that they have a long way to come. And that's a whole different topic I could go down. But, you know, those are more out of the range. So you're looking at like pediatric or psychologist, like psychiatrists and medical doctors that can do that with some of their patients. I don't know if we're necessarily there yet, but having these lower level, smaller channel devices sent out to your clients and have them do that and have a technician work remotely with them is really an ideal setup and situation. And there's some perks from a business packaging standpoint where you can make that beneficial. Another thing from a business aspect, reimbursement rates. I tell cash is king. There's very few people that don't that accept insurance, and they're fortunate because they are medical doctors or have some type of licensure that will allow them to bill. And even then, you really have to negotiate appropriate rates for you to get paid, which is, I have a lot of gray hair for my age, and it's because of fighting those battles. So I always tell, you know, providers to package things appropriately so that when customers come in, they see the value. We're going to do a QEG. We're going to do a full assessment on you. We're going to do a neurocognitive assessment. We're going to do a QEG. We may do some psychological evaluations or whatever. And then we're going to provide that information to you, set up a package where your QEG and your other neuro, as you test every 10, 27, whatever it is, you're also getting reassessed and measuring that progress. And so a lot of people, they'll just do training, but the problem is they come in 3 times a week to do this, maybe. And well, what are they doing when they're going home? They're not eating right. They're not sleeping right. They're not practicing the things that we try to tell them. A lot of them are. Some are really good patients or clients, and we love those ones. But the mass majority don't. One of the things that we can do to also bring in maybe a little offset our costs from training if we don't get the reimbursement we want is rent out home devices. Like HeartMath or something that they can practice some of these skills. And there's a bunch of devices out there that you know, providers can recommend where they can practice these skills at home. And I think that's really important that a lot of people miss out because, you know, coming in once to 3 times, sometimes every day is great, but we really need that off time to also kind of practice and just, you know, especially heart rate variability training at home is wonderful, you know, or David Delights or whatever that may be, but you can rent those to your clients and it helps offset some of the costs. And if they love it after, you know, wearing it or doing it for a month or 2 months, however long, you can just sell it. You say, okay, great. You know, you've rented it, you know, pay $100 and it's yours, you know? So there's a lot of different business tools that you can do and a lot of things to help your patients as well, which is really the most important, is having both of those in tandem. With some of the business stuff, being successful in this is really making sure that you are educated, that you're continuing to follow that education path and continuing your learning, working with other providers to find out what they're doing, and not being afraid to ask. I think a lot of people are afraid of looking like they don't know their stuff. We all suffer from the human experience. And we're all learning, and some of us know are specialists in this and specialists in this, or have had more experience. And that's one reason why everyone taps into Jay, is because you've got this brilliant guy in front of you who's seen almost, you know, everything that's out there, and is a vital resource, you know. And you don't have many people like that, but we do have people that are specialized in these little pockets of things that we can really tap into. So finding your people, these are our people. I think from a business perspective, continuing to learn, finding the right people, and finding resources. One of the things that I like to do is, again, we're a solutions-driven company. So when people come to me and say, well, how am I going to fund this? How can I afford a $15,000 QEG machine or whatever it is that they want to buy? So we offer resources, you know, financing, there's, you know, renting, you know, there's a lot of different things available to professionals to be able to afford this. And again, planning, proper planning prevents a piss poor performance, as my father would say. And so that's why we lay it out to people who are really interested in getting in and utilizing this with their clients. What can you expect? What am I facing so that I can plan and make this dream a reality? One big mistake people make, and I love this one, website. That is the first face of your company, your business, and what you want. And you want to make sure that your content is clear, that you don't have too much of it, that you're not speaking over their heads. We're talking to regular everyday mom and dads, and people that are stressed and overwhelmed and, you know, that are really needing help, but they really need it broken down simple. And it comes back to that education. But a lot of people try to skimp on the things that they really need: equipment, their website, and how they're getting this message across. Because we're not sending out flyers or advertising on TV or doing different things these days. People are searching for things online, and you have to use different terms. I have a marketing department here, and we are constantly looking at statistics. And I can tell you that people are not searching biofeedback for ADD or anxiety or neurofeedback for attention. It's not happening. It happens maybe 100 hits, you know, a month across the globe or whatever, or in the United States. So you've got to really
give us a freebie, Kelly. How are they finding neurofeedback?
Yeah. Well, set up a 25-minute consultation. No, I'm kidding. So really, again, educate. So, you know, providers need to have that education, information and digestible content, whether it be blogs or on their website where they have videos. People want to see you. They don't want to read so much anymore. Our attention span is just diminishing, and I'm sure we could all have a whole different podcast on that and technology and how it's affected our attention span and learning. But one of the things that I say is have videos, write blogs, make yourself stand out as an expert in what you do, and really focus on your local community. Set up your SEO. Make sure you hire somebody who knows what they're doing. And if you're not fluent in developing websites or SEO or Google Ads, chances are your administrative assistant isn't either. So you're trying to find easy ways to get around the most critical pieces for you to be successful. So really making sure you have a good website, because people are going to look at that, and then they're going to look at the provider down the road from you that has maybe the similar prices. But if their website looks sexier than yours, bye. they're not going to call you. They're not going to come in. You're not going to get another opportunity. So get them while they're hot, spend the money where you need to spend it. And then, you know, talk to people like me or other professionals and say, well, where can I save some money? And where can I make up that money? Example would be those adjunct devices, right? Or packaging appropriately for your community. So I got a lot of tips on that, but website is really important. And I go through quite often, and a lot of people come to me and say, hey, I'm looking for a provider in this area. And I say, okay, well, here's the BCIA list. That's one space. And then also let's Google your area. And I'll just go and look at websites. And some of them I'm just like, oh, my heart breaks. And I'm like, I don't think you have a line out the door. I think you're probably working 7 days a week. I think that you're, you know, it really causes a lot of pressure on the provider because they were just hoping to save some money. And, you know, again, you get what you pay for, and your return on your investment is what you're really looking for. So what do you really want there? So I would say website, and again, writing content that makes you look like you are the go-to in your local area.
Your continuing education stuff is important. You have to realize that the EG is a very difficult learning curve, but it's the right learning curve. And you look up the curve and there's people in front of you. If you see somebody who says they're on the top of the curve, watch out, they're dangerous. There's no way to be somebody who masters EEG. I'm a student of the EEG. It's still teaching me. And if you see somebody claiming to be the master, watch out. But don't just look up the curve. Look behind you. There's somebody who needs your help as well. We're all in this together. It's not competition, it's co-opetition. We have to help each other to move the field forward. And, you know, look at the people behind you, look at the people in front of you. We've got a gigantic linking of hands from behind and in front, and we're all trying to ratchet up this impossible learning curve. It may be impossible, but it's, like I say, it's the right learning curve to be on. And I've been in the field 50 years. And, you know, I was excited when I was a kid starting with my own lab in 1972. And, you know, I'm more excited about the field now than I was then. And like I said, I was a pretty excitable kid. So the field is bloomed. You look around internationally, there's societies in Australia and Europe and throughout the world. We've got universities that will give you a PhD with this as a dissertation topic and not chastise you for killing your career. When I started, there was basically UCLA and UC San Francisco, Camilla and Sturman. And if you went somewhere else and told them you wanted to do then it was EEG biofeedback. There wasn't a neurofeedback term even then. I'm sorry, but go to some other school. We don't want your kind here, you know. And it's still in the United States, there's still a bit of a pejorative about the field of neurofeedback as just a bunch of hippies. It's not. This is solid neuroscience. The international world has publications. The journals that accept papers in neurofeedback are abounding. So the field is flourishing in a way now that it didn't when I started. I was excited, but there was very little reason to be other than just potential future. At this point, it's so exciting. I have to cover one eye is how I say it, you know? So,
you know, if you want to go down this path, understand that you are in for the long run and it's going to create a lot of frustration. Sometimes you're going to second guess yourself. I mean, after 14 years, I find myself second guessing myself many times. And, you know, I still, you know, recently we did an EEG with JS. I looked at this and I'm like, I need Jay because I don't know what I'm looking at here. And, you know, and Jay very graciously, as he always does, looked at it and he taught me a lot. I think that, like Jay says, the cooperation is very important. And the networking is very important. I've had the opportunity to meet, spend time, talk to, have dinner with, and learn from the legends in the field. And I'm very grateful for that. And you know, as long as they're present, as long as they're active, I recommend that the newcomers to attend one of Jay's talks if he's doing that. You know, Barry's Termini, I don't know if he's doing that anymore. But you know, Cynthia Curson is out there, and Paul Swingle is out there, and Linda Walker is out there. And to learn from them, not only their skills and knowledge, but learn about how they work and how they do it. I think emulating the way the best work is how you find your own neurofeedback persona and how you develop your own style. And that's something that I take pride in. I don't think that I have tried to imitate anybody, but to take the best from all of them and to adapt it to my own style. And then Kelly has helped me do that. And I think that's my biggest recommendation. Do your own, be your own persona and have your own style. And more often than not, you cannot go wrong that way.
Is there's a lot of people who want to get into this that aren't medical, don't have, you know, license and whatnot, but you can go and work, you can get trained in this and become a technician. Don't close the door on the dream. We all want to do something with a positive impact. And if this is what you want to do, please contact me because I'll walk you through what the board requires. You know, you'll find a provider. I've helped build so many clinics that the dream for any provider is to have someone email you in your inbox and say, hey, I'm putting myself through this program. I want to come work for you. I want to be a technician. I'm very close to meeting requirements, or will you be willing? Here's my experience and background. You know, will you train me and I'll stay with you for X amount of years or whatever? So you can get into this and don't be deterred and work for somebody who is licensed and qualified. And, you know, don't limit yourself. This is great, fun stuff that we get to do. And there's such incredible people. And also, there's more than enough people and clients out there for everybody. And so just like Jay said, I mean, it's not a competition. I don't think of anyone in this field, business related or provider or anything, as competition. I view them as friends, as resources that I can tap into and pass people to, or, you know, whatever it may be. But we really are. We got really lucky in this industry. We're all here to help. And again, there's more and more people in the market that are learning about this and that are seeking this out. And so if you want to be the first Starbucks on, or the sixth Starbucks on the block, or the 50th, there's more than enough clients for you to see. So I just want to say that.
Kelly, what's the best way for our listeners to learn more about you and your business?
Sure. They can just go to the website, successful-trainer.com. I offer, like I said, free 25-minute consultations, and that goes for anybody, background experience or not. Very adamant about making sure that people understand what this is. I've got a lot of resources that I've collected since I started in this industry, and have added and updated everything as current as we possibly can as things in the field has progressed. So tap onto our website, book a free consult, whatever feels good. We've got a lot of content on there. So,
oh, absolutely. We'll have your links in the podcast notes. Kelly, thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
We thank you all for listening to NeuroNoodles, Neurofeedback, and Neuropsychology Podcast. Hey, we'd like to thank our business supporters, Outrageous Baking. They're a dedicated gluten-free bakery that has been around for 15 years. Check them out at outrageousbaking.com. TorTalk wants more people to discover text-to-speech at tortalk.se. Alternative Behavioral Therapy, Neurofeedback Service in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, just ask for Joshua M. and Amazing Brains in Colorado, two locations, Vail Valley and Summit County. Say hi to Micah while you're out there. We'd also like to thank our supporters, EEG and me, Sadi M, Jonathan Rowan, January Terrell. And we'd like to welcome our new supporter, Loretta T. Hey, do you have an idea for a topic or guest? Please email pete@neuronoodle.com or leave us a voicemail in the podcast notes. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And hey, if you really, really, really like us, you can always buy us a coffee on Patreon/NeuroNoodle. We love our Patreon peeps, don't we, Jay?
Absolutely. the field wouldn't be the same without all of our supporters around. And it's always good to have a base. So
it's good to have friends, right, Jay? Yes, friends.
Absolutely.
Cue the music.